Hi, everybody. This is the Courtroom Observer conference call. It's September 28th, 2016, and Carl is really busy tonight, so he won't be on. But I have Charles on here from New York, who actually helped Maud and was a courtroom observer for her. And so I was going to have him come on and just explain what happened in the court, and also kind of what's happened with Maud, if he knows. I'd like to know.
Yes.
Charles.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Great. This was a few months back when she was facing the bank from seizing her property, and they came in approached her as a tenant as opposed to the homeowner, and they were trying to evict her.
Right.
And I showed up that morning for court to court observe with two other people, and they already had three or four people there, or at least by the time we went into the courthouse, we had about actually eight or nine people, I think it was, in total, including Maud. And when they called her case up, it went rather quickly. It was maybe 2 or 3 minutes in total. Because they were just, actually ended up just adjourning, the day and not making a decision, which I think was a good thing because she didn't think that they were going to do even that for her because she was trying to get more time at that point.
Yeah.
And I think because, we had the presence of the court observers there, they did consider and give her, more time to put her case together. They may have made a decision against her that very day, which would have been really bad, obviously, because that would have led to an eviction by the sheriff.
But she had proof that she wasn't the tenant, that she owned the house, right?
She did, but the thing is, because she wasn't in case for anything else other than an eviction as a tenant, which was kind of ridiculous, and they didn't want to hear anything else but that. So, although she's a homeowner, they have the gall, to proceed with a case against her as the tenant and try to push an eviction on her, which could then lead to, a warrant or papers, for the sheriff to remove her from her property.
Right.
And so on that day, she was able to get more time, and and there was one interesting thing that did happen where the judge actually raised up some paperwork. It was actually some NLA. I'm trying to remember the name of the paper. I can't recall at the moment. But it was a paper from NLA, basically, explaining, her rights and how this should proceed. She raised the paper in acknowledgement. Well, at least it was acknowledgement to us that she received it and said that she doesn't always read, which was very, very interesting statement. She doesn't always read everything that she receives. She was letting us know in her own words that she either really didn't read it, which is what she said, so that she doesn't always read everything she receives, or letting us know that she wasn't going to acknowledge it, I guess, is what really she was saying.
Right, I see what you mean, yeah.
Yeah, but anyway, I think that, I believe she did read it and she understood, and and that's why she did give her more time. And since then, afterwards we did all, make up affidavits for her in the case, which was just, you know, because at that point, it was really just affidavits, you know, stating that she was being, that she was being a, you know, I forget how I worded it exactly in my affidavit, but basically it was that that she's the homeowner, not the tenant.
Good. So how many people had affidavits saying that?
Well, I know me and my two, the two I brought with me, sent in affidavits. I don't know about the others. I'm sure that she had at least two or three more affidavits, at least.
Great.
And
great.
Since then, I haven't. She took another approach. Sometime after that, but that did give her the time to put together a case. And since then, I know that she had hired an attorney actually, and she took another approach. And I haven't heard much about it since. I think it's just she basically put herself in a position where they're leaving her alone.
Okay, that's really good to know.
Yeah, that is. That's where she is now. Where they're
basically, so she's in her house still.
Yeah, but it's kind of in limbo, where she doesn't really know what's, you know, if they're planning on doing anything or approaching her or how they're coming at her at this point. So, and that was the last. It's been about a month actually since I've spoken to her. So I don't know if she's gotten any further communication or anything.
It just sounds like they keep doing this to people where they can't figure out what to do with you, but they don't want to close it so they can figure out some other strategy instead of just dismissing it.
Right. And I think that was probably where they felt they needed to go, but they probably, you know, like you said, as opposed to dismissing it, see if they can, maybe
figure some other stupid thing out or mean thing.
Right, or revive it. Revive
illegal.
It later on.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Revive the same exact case later on as an eviction and try to, you know, push it through a little faster maybe before, you know. I mean, I things like that happen. But she did, like you said, she did have a ton of evidence, showing that she was the homeowner, and then other evidence that showed that she had actually paid off the debt that was owed, but that was like cash for value. I don't know if you're familiar with that. That was just, you know, but I mean, you know, it's part of their own design. And it is a valid method. At least, I don't know if anybody's, you know, figured out exactly.
Well, I know people. I've heard of people trying to do it, and it doesn't always work out that well because they just fight it, you know. And so,
I've heard of people doing it, and the debt is never. They're never approached about it again, and they're left alone.
Oh, okay.
But they don't ever get a confirmation,
right?
That it's been. So then you kind of don't know where you are with it,
right?
I wish I had follow ups on those folks, but I might be able to go back and see if I can get some follow up on that. I'd love to know. But I mean, I think that's all coming to an end anyway, and I think we're going to get back to reality and back to what is. You know, what it's supposed to be. I really believe that, and I look forward to it. But, with Maud, you know, I just, I just, like I just said, you know, once we get back to what's really supposed to be, I don't think she'll have any issues.
Well, nobody will.
That this is true.
You know, when it's really common sense instead of this crazy psychopathic behavior. So in Seattle, they did there was an audit done on the mortgages in Seattle area, and they found out so much fraud that no foreclosure can stick, period.
Wow. That's great.
But, I mean, then you have to make sure that you have that information in order to enforce it. If nobody, see, they've been trying to hide the findings, you know. So you have to be privileged to, you know, have that information so you can use it.
Right, right. Yeah, maybe we should put some links up somewhere. I don't know.
I have it. I mean,
can you post it on?
I could post it. Yeah, I could post it on. What would I put? Well, I can post it on underneath the call to action page under the courtroom observers. I can post it there where the forum would be.
Oh,
I can put the link so people can see where it is, see what's going on there.
Yeah, and there's also a foreclosure forum. Maybe if you want to copy it there also, but if not, maybe I'll copy what you put up and move it over and post it.
Yeah, that would be great. Everybody can use it. Well, thank you, Charles. That's really good news. So I'm glad to hear that Maude is. I'm wondering what's been going on with her. Because, you know, a lot of people, they have these problems and then they disappear because we can't figure out what happened to them. And I don't want to, you know, I want to think that they got thrown out or that they got to keep their place or what. So it's good to hear. There is a, Mark Cordova, who's been on here a few times, they've been dragging him on false accusations. And they just keep stringing him along. But we have a few NLA members that are actually recovering bar attorneys, and they are so fed up with the situation, the system. And so there is this woman named Joanne who I'm trying to get her to get on this call. She's actually a bar attorney that's trying to help Mark, and she is so sick of the system, and she is a member of us. So it'd be interesting to hear from her when I can get her on. So I'm just wondering, does anybody have any cases that they want to talk about or that they're helping or that they have their own case?
Hello?
Hi, Mike.
Hey, how you doing? Can I
All
say
right.
something? I have
yeah.
a is Maude from New York?
Yes.
Okay, if I don't know what relevance this is, but if she would look at her deed, in her deed it says that she is a tenant in common.
It says that?
Yep, that's right in the opening top lines of it.
Oh.
Her name and that she's a tenant in common with the state of New York or the county, whatever county she's in. That's what my deeds always say.
So you're saying that they're all they're saying all New Yorkers are renting from the state?
Oh, basically, yeah. You're a renter. You're not buying the property because you're a tenant in common with the state.
Oh, wow.
So I think that may be where they get the authority to bring her in as a tenant, other than a homeowner.
Okay, I heard that definitely is a tactic they've been using for a lot of people, and then I heard that they were changing it up to that you're a squatter as opposed to a tenant. They've been using that, too. I've just... anyway.
I'm buying a property, and I have another year and a half before it's paid for. And when it is paid for, the lady that I'm buying it from, on a land contract, she will turn over all the paperwork to me, and I will not file for a deed. I will file a notice of acceptance of the property, that it's private property, and that it is mine.
Do you have a loan through her instead of the bank?
Yes, yes. It's not really a loan. She just sold me the house, and I made payments to her, and it's just about paid off. It's 15 years now.
Well, that's great. I'm glad you didn't have to go through a bank.
So I'm excited to find out how this is going to work, because it should take it off the property tax rolls, because it's not going to be deeded. The only other thing I can think of is if they come back and they say, well, wait a minute, we have to get taxes on this property and somebody has to pay it. And if you don't claim that you own it through a deed, then we're just going to take the land.
Well, okay, a land patent is supposed to take care of that too, but I know people that had land patents and they're still bugging the crap out of them for everything anyway.
I tried to get a land patent on this place to get it done in Lodial.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason or other, New York they won't give us one, and they wouldn't give me one in New York.
Interesting.
Yeah, because it was owned by the Indians.
Mm.
And actually, the state doesn't even have any authority to own land in New York because the Indians never gave it to them.
Well, none of us do, really, then.
Right, so that's why I'm really interested to find out the best way to proceed with this. And if there's attorneys listening, perhaps they may have some type of suggestion on how to go about doing this.
Yeah.
But if you already have the deed and it's in your name and it says that you're a tenant in common, I don't know how you'd get out of it. Even if it's paid, for, the only thing you could do is probably quick claim it to somebody else and then have them not file to do the process whereby you don't have a deed from the state of New York. Because, see, when you file a deed, there's a maxim in law that says he who holds the paper holds the thing. So if they're holding the paperwork out of the deed, that means that they actually have ownership of the paper, that the property that the paper states that it is.
Hi, this is Harley from Vermont.
Hi, Harley.
How's it going?
Hi, Harley.
Hey, yeah, Robert Overhuel comes to mind because he's the one who mentioned patent to me. I'd be interested to find out how he's doing on his efforts in that.
Well, the only thing is that I have two friends that did it in Oregon. And the couple got thrown off their property even though they went back, and they got arrested twice thrown off on their own property. And then it got sold out from underneath them, and they had proof that they paid for it. They had everything. And they had a land patent. And so did my other friends that live next door to her. Now, she's still there, but they're still trying to steal her property, too. And so it just feels like they were doing whatever. And I know some people it worked for, and other people, my other friends, it didn't. And when they actually went to file it, because they were doing it, their neighbors, and they were doing it at the same time, they went down to the courthouse to file it. 2 weeks later, they went down there, and it was gone. Both of them were gone. They filed it again. 2 weeks later, they went down there. They were disappeared again. So the next time they did it, the third time they did it, they videotaped themselves filing it.
You need to find a statute in your area. I found them in Vermont, and it's very, very clear by precedent that they have a duty to file. And it's to the
Well, they did. Respect. They filed it, and then they disappeared it.
I'm saying it's for them to. It's for that clerk to have custody of those records in whatever form that they get those records. And, you know, losing something is the same as not filing it. And
right. So
there's a penalty. Talk to John about that one. But I know in my case, I wasn't trying to eliminate taxes by any means. I'm up against the bank. And so the guy who sold me my land, I got a quit claim deed. I was under a land contract at the time to him. And so there's a quit claim deed from that owner to me, but then I mortgaged it. Then I turned it into a formal mortgage with the bank who eventually ousted me and bulldozed it, you know. I'm under Earth Geek on YouTube if anybody wants to see the, like, 6 videos of this saga where they kidnapped me for 30 hours and then bulldozed my 2,000-square-foot greenhouse in Yurtstead. So the reason I'm on the call primarily is I get to be in a jury draw on the 4th. And my father's here with me. He's going to do courtroom observer and probably an affidavit that day. But if anybody's in southern Vermont and they want to see what how they treat me as far as asking questions, I don't even know what questions I'm allowed. If anybody has some input on that, like, you know, I don't want to be caught up in contempt of court and thrown out on my ass right off the bat.
Well,
but I do want to
okay.
ask some challenging questions of these potential jurors.
Oh, I see. So you're going to pick the jury.
Right. I have a thing called jury draw, and as far as I know, that's, and I'm watching my Perry Mason very much, but, you know, you're supposed to, you're supposed to ask them some kind of question to see if they're biased.
Right. I wonder if you could just Google the best questions to ask the jury if you're picking them. You know,
it's funny. You know, I've asked Gerard outright on a call. I've been on a lot of common law calls like this, and you know, this is something we're pushing for, right? Jury trial. This is the skill set we should collectively have.
Oh, sorry.
And I'm just not really finding any kind of collective resource on it yet.
Right. You know what? That would actually be a good thing for Carl to post on. If you're going to pick a jury, the best questions to ask, we should actually talk about that and come up with them.
I mean, this is where this is all going. I mean, if we're pushing
now, when is your trial? I mean, when are you going to pick them?
On the 4th at 9 a.m. I'm supposed to be in Bennington.
Why don't you fill out a courtroom observer? Oh, you can't really. Do you need, your dad's going to be there for picking the jury, right?
Right, yeah, for that first one. I'm trying
okay.
to get people.
Uh-huh.
I don't know how it's going to go. By the way, just a hint out there, I don't know if it worked for other people, but I came across a form when I was filing my Supreme Court challenge to the foreclosure about accommodation. And so since I have a couple different disabilities, like dyslexia and stuff, I asked for accommodation, and as part of that, to be able to videotape. Even though I got the rules from legal aid that, you know, show under most circumstances it is allowed unless it's disallowed kind of thing, but I got written permission from the court to tape it. And I think if we videotape more of these things, they'd be great learning pieces, wouldn't they?
Yeah, they are. Yeah. So,
I mean, are people pushing to be able to record? We should be able to record. It's a public place. It's a public process, right?
Well,
if we're not recording,
there's two court cases that I have on the courtroom observer protocol. There's like 11. Things to know, and one of them is the two cases that you can cite that you're supposed to be able to record. Now, the only thing with that is that, you know, the courts have just been hostile to us doing all kinds of stuff. And so we've had people who went in to record and got thrown out, and they didn't get to record or even write notes. And so you kind of have to feel out what kind of attitude the people, you know, have there. And if they're really hostile, you at least want somebody to go in and with a notepad and, you know, because we don't want people thrown out and they don't record anything.
Right, but my argument here is let's not be weak. You know, let's not go to our last negotiating point first. I mean, as a proactive step to protect my right to document this process, because I need more time to study these things and I need to go back and look at it. He did say that I couldn't use the videotape in further, which I don't know if it's to say or not, in further proceedings. I couldn't use it for evidence.
Why?
You know, I don't know. Anyway, that's the proviso he put on it.
That's not true.
Again, you know, it's a game, right? We're in there matching with.
They just try to tell you stuff.
Really great courtroom videos and stuff coming out of Ireland and England, and they're fighting for the same thing, common law. You know, they won't even let them get juries, you know, but, you know, they push to get their cases heard in what they call a Queen's Bench, which is a tiny little room stuck, you know, in a dark place that hardly anybody can access, you know.
Right.
But they, you know, so they're at a much more compromised level than we are yet. You know, we have more latitude. And in Vermont, it's fairly relaxed. Honestly, I've signed things under protest. Nobody said anything. I walk in and out of the court. Nobody checks who I am. You know, there's just, I mean, it's a soft spot, hoping.
Right.
Hey, Harley.
Yes, sir.
On your mortgage with the bank, did you pay that off or did you still owe on it?
No, the circumstance was that I was forced to get an attorney that was a bankruptcy attorney. And then I had a really rough time as they just went after vicious, you know, foreclosure mill lawyers went after my bankruptcy to destroy it because I have so much equity. You know, it's a quarter of $1 million property that I owed $47,000 on.
Gosh.
So I'm in my disability process at the beginning of this, and I you know, didn't have a lot of money, but I didn't say that I didn't want to pay it. It's just that they turned down my forbearance of principal agreement that I had that would have allowed me to extend while I waited for my Social Security to get reinstated. I had a lawyer tell me later that one of the reasons they kicked it out, again, they kicked out my second bankruptcy and the lawyer stopped talking to me. So I'm left totally in the lurch, not knowing anything, kept in the dark, treated like a mushroom, fed bullshit. And, you know, so I'm trying to find out what happened. They said, well, they were waiting for your Social Security to come through so they could pull out money from the retroactive, and that was going to solve it and, you know, this and that. But they're going after me for everything under the sun, trying to tell me that it was raw land when, you know, my greenhouse and structure were on the tax rolls, and that I had my homestead declarations filed with the state in both counties that I own land in.
Were your taxes paid up?
No, they were escrowed, you know, and they were part of the problem too, but it wasn't the town. But, I mean, a town's got tons of properties on their tax rolls, you know, that they're not taking back. They gave one guy's property back to him just so they can get somebody paying taxes again. So they really are not the vicious ones in this circle. It's really this bank who is a national bank, People's United Bank, who took over a state bank and thereby got my mortgage.
But you didn't sign anything with them, did you?
Exactly. And now that's another point of law that might be able to be brought up in federal court, because as soon as I'm done with this criminal charges, I'm marching it over to federal district court to bring up my constitutional rights being breached, the whole jurisdiction and, you know, all the common law arguments against my constitutional rights and due process and everything.
Now, what's the criminal thing? The resisting arrest?
Well, if people really want to see it, just look at EarthGeek on YouTube, People's United Bank Fraud, and I videotaped it. I put up the cruiser footage. I was on my way to meet the sheriff, believe it or not, because I had been sending him all the paperwork trail, how I was in Supreme Court over this, and even though I was daily getting nasty grams from the bank threatening me, I had the power company held off. Their lawyers said they didn't want to get involved, and, you know, because they were threatening to cut my power and, you know, take my stuff. And then so I get this mysterious call from the sheriff. He says, I can't really talk on these unsecured lines, but if you come to my office. And he says, I don't know what the state police are going to do, but I'm not going to, you know, do anything to you. Well, they were monitoring all those communications and set me up, and they caught me on the road. You see it in the videos. So they kidnapped me for 30 hours, solitary confinement, because I wouldn't answer questions, I wouldn't be processed or any of that crap unless it was about my health. So now they've got these charges on the books for criminal trespass, which is a felony apparently, and resisting arrest, which you can see in the video is totally trumped up because it consisted of me going from my face to up on my hands because I thought they were about to lift me up. Instead, they jumped on me with four guys and put their leg in my back. Again, I got disabilities and stuff. So they were really horrible. Not only did the bank look like monsters, but the cops themselves. And I said I'm not after career ruining. I'm not after going after them for that. I really want the process by which they were allowed to do this, include their bosses decided to be dirty and get involved with the bank.
Was the criminal trespass out on your own property?
Yeah, that's the alleged, you know, I woke up every day where I wake up, you know, and it was written up the same day by a court clerk. There was never any warrant for my arrest.
Well, whose property was it that you criminally trespassed upon?
I mean, that's a good question because I'd like to see the individual who I harmed or damaged because
you need to see the complaint.
Yeah, it's a $63 billion corporation who's, you know, asset stripping Vermont because we've got soft laws. We've got, you know, very, you know, soft laws about a lot of things. And anytime I talk to the Capitol, Montpelier, and I just burn the lines, you know, for months because I was searching for lawyer help and legal aid help and couldn't get any, that they would always throw up their hands and say, oh, it's a federally regulated bank. You need to talk to the comptroller of the currency of the United States. I say, yeah, he's going to turn his chair around for me. They all threw up their hands, like all the rules about like foreclosure process and mediation and all that. Oh, they don't apply because it's a federal bank. Well, do you protect the citizens of your state? Are your laws pertain to how businesses do business with your residents? Or is it a free-for-all, you know? And it's uncompetitive. If you think about it, if the state banks have to operate under certain strictures, but a federal bank doesn't.
Did you ever pull their charter? The federal bank charter?
No. Is that something to do?
Because if they have jurisdiction over the top of the state bank, the federal bank is the one that took over the loan?
Yeah, it's a multi-state bank. People's United Bank is out of Connecticut. And they came up and bought a bunch of small state banks like Chittenden, which is a regional kind of around Burlington area, Chittenden County.
Okay.
It was all statewide, but so that's how they acquired.
So the reason they sold your mortgage to the other bank was because for non-payment?
No, none of that, dude. You don't understand. People's United Bank bought Chittenden Bank. My mortgage was with Chittenden Bank.
Okay. I know that. Did the bank that you originally had it from, did they go out of business or something?
They got bought out.
Oh, they got bought out. Okay.
Yeah, they got bought by this federally regulated bank, People's United Bank.
Oh, so they're just coming in.
And you know, again, they're looking for soft targets, and this is the scam. I mean, I went through the process with John and them, and I was one of the first ones to get, you know, that piece written where it calls the sheriff at the top of it to witness a crime against me. And it's been delivered to the sheriff and stuff. It's just that, you know, he hasn't upheld my rights, of course, because the, you know, food chain is so convoluted now. I do have an interesting email chain between him and the state police and the bank, where the bank says, when we arrest Mr. Blake, which we plan to do on date positive such and such, and I just don't, it's ridiculous. You see in a video where the bank sends a cop to sit on my road when they're playing auction tiddlywinks, you know, in the road, which I had protested in court. And I said, this was supposed to be stayed. You know, this is under dispute. There's not supposed to be an auction today. And I go up and I warn them all not to bid on it, you know. I've been trying to put firewall after firewall, trying to reclaim my common law rights. I've got a long chain of failure to speak to issues by the judge. And all these things that, you know, I can't do in their own kangaroo venue. I got to take it to the higher court level on that.
Right.
Okay, so, Harley, I just posted the link to the Seattle audit fraud where none of the foreclosures are valid. And I just put it on the call to action page on the Courtroom Observers, and it's on the forum underneath all the other text. So if you want to look at it.
Well, you know, I want to be able to find an example. This is something I was poking at on the IRC call and stuff, is that it seems like, John, those guys talk about there's lots of examples that I can pull from. It's just the way the website's organized, they can't find them. But in these calls and stuff to workshop it, I'd like to find a way to elegantly call into question the jurisdiction issues. And I'm kind of losing my thought here, but you know what I mean? My first salvo to say, hey, I want this dismissed on the fact that there's no injured party. And, you know, that whole approach. And then I've got the backup of, you know, how the cow ate the cabbage and the fact that there was no warrant and that there was collusion, which spells RICO and, you know, fraud, and that, you know, this whole thing is extrajudicial because I had a pending court case at the time, although it was thrown out by the Supreme Court. They said that they can't because of certain limitations. You know, that they gave me 10 days back in 2014. I said, that whole thing is what I'm contesting, is that they, you know, put these grease skids under me, knowing that my constitutional rights would be violated immediately. There would not have any recourse to, stop them from raiding every bit of equity. You know, there's an equity return law somewhere in there, but they always find a way to steamroll that, you know? So,
right.
You know, they really raided me. They raped me. Right. I'm going to be confusing. I hit too many points at once with this, and our minds just take off. But I want those basic boilerplate things to go in, and I'm going to, instead of trying to tell the jurors that jury nullification exists, I'm going to make it an exhibit of the prior, you know, case law.
Right.
But again, all those things, if they could be organized as sort of templates and instructions on the, I'm not trying to task people, you know, here, but as a group, if we can work on
right.
that together.
Right.
Well, okay, the other thing is if you fill out a Courtroom Observer form, I can send it to the people in Vermont. And NLA members in Vermont and
all three of them.
yeah. Why do you know them all?
Uh huh.
You do? You in there? Okay,
most everybody's in the north, and Jack is a nice guy. He's an engineer,
uh-huh.
but he's immediately baffled by everything. I love the guy. He's a nice guy, but we're.
Okay.
We're just out on a limb, you know. I mean, our population density is pretty low, so we're probably average for the country. Just, you know, there's like 50 acres per person in Vermont, you know.
Okay.
The density is very low.
Okay.
I mean, even our biggest capital town is like a really big small town, You know, there's no people mm-hmm. here to pull from. So, you know, looky, that Bennington's right in the corner. Like, we're always in New York State. Like, we're always in northern Massachusetts to find things and do things. So I'm looking to kind of convene NLA in general in a New England sense until we get stronger as individual states, you know, just so we have numbers. Like,
right.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
A guy named Decker Apple has a weekly call actually going on right now, and I was discussing with him early. He's on my Facebook, and he's
really
very,
that's the guy. That's the guy that wrote us a really good letter.
He's very active, and he's very frustrated though because he's trying to have state meetings. He was trying to find room in the week, and Tuesday wasn't open yet. I suggested to him that, wouldn't it be great if NLA made it a pattern to have statewide meetings on Tuesday nights, each state, or combinations of states that want to get together?
Mm-hmm.
But right now, his meeting that I really enjoyed last week is clashing with this meeting, which is taking precedence for me.
I see.
But it's just brain fart.
So how long are his meetings?
Oh, I guess about like this, you know. I think they were on for at least 2 hours or something, though.
Oh, yeah. Well, this is an hour, so you might.
Yeah, no, we keep this down. I can join that one after.
Yeah, but he's the one. I read the letter that he wrote us about. He said that his pay grade was way above Congress, and that he said that if we didn't, that we need to really get that we're making an impact, NLA is making an impact, because he said he knows the people, especially the judicial branch, is really shaking in their boots behind the scenes because of what we've done in a short amount of time.
And we need to do more with the social networking, because I'm telling you, I follow a lot of stuff in the other Five Eyes countries, the Anglo-American countries, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, England and Australia and, you know, New Zealand. Because we have this tool. We have this original constitutional thing that none of those guys have to, you know, to park ourselves on. We just have to strip off all the other bull crap. You know, but using social media better, like I think I need to help Jack set up a state a Vermont Facebook page. And then people need to populate these pages. The national NLA page just really lays there. I never go there. But Decker Apple, on the other hand, and I, we're always pasting NLA. Hey, come to the meeting Monday night. You know, we're driving traffic, man. We're just like all over the different constitutional groups that exist out there who workshop documents together and everything.
Right. He defends us against Anna.
Yeah, me too. Me too. I'm in a couple of groups where people are, you know, the Confederate States of America and this and that. You're just jealous because we're ahead of you. I said, dude, we just have a different approach. I want to stay neutral here because, you know, some of the similar people are here, and I'm trying to wean people off of that nonsense and get them onto ours because I believe in it more obviously. I've chosen this brand, so to speak. But I think in the long term, our instincts are right. And our process approach is very important.
Yeah. So.
But to drive that home, we need to be in the current environment. And that's why Decker Apple and I are just, you know, burning up the wires with this stuff.
And so what's his Facebook?
Decker Apple, DeckerApel or APPEL. I'm not sure.
Okay, I can find it, but that's it, just Decker Apple Facebook.
Yeah, I'm William Blake on Facebook. I use my middle name because my dad's name is the same.
Okay.
But, again, that thing about having a weekly call to keep people jazzed and get them connected more locally, I think would be awesome if John, you know, allow us or whatever to set up Tuesday as a space. We're all not going to be in the same place, obviously, but not put something else there, say that's the weekly meeting. I mean, he went back and forth, apparently, and they just finally decided, hell with it, we're going to have it on Wednesday. They're in a different time zone, though.
Oh, I see. Right.
But they've got a tri-state, and he said they were all kind of weak, but it's really helping that they all have that weekly call together.
Well, yeah. Do you have the phone number for that, Arlie?
I might.
I mean, for those of us who might want to join after this call's over.
Yeah, I'm going to try to look it up. I'm a messenger with him right now. He sends me a event notification usually, but I'm trying to find that in the stack. So anyway, carry on. I don't want to monopolize the whole thing here. Other people, you know.
So why you mean you're still looking for the phone number?
Yeah, I'll try to give you guys that number before we're done.
Okay, but to look him up on Facebook, and then you would, if you befriended him, you would get notices, right?
Yeah, let him know you're from the NLA right away.
Mm-hmm.
He'll invite him.
Well, does anybody else have anything to add tonight?
What was Harley's YouTube channel again?
Earth Geek, right? Harley?
Correct. Yep.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I have something.
Okay.
On the 18th of October, in about 3 weeks, I've got it sentencing. And if there's anyone around, it's possible. I'll fill out the forms and send it to you. This is
yeah,
Darren.
Do that. You're in Arizona, okay?
Yeah. It'll be
well,
Mojave.
Tell us a little bit about what's going on with you.
Well, it's just a steamroller. I've not signed anything. They have a contract that I saw even at the probation office when they wanted me to sign up for that. Couple weeks ago, it was unsigned. Same with their papers that they had in their folder were all unsigned. I never signed up for any of that, but the arraignment paper, the beginning right after arraignment, it's all unsigned. I never agreed or accepted anything.
But what are they doing? I mean, are they taking your house or what?
Oh, I was stopped for supposedly going 61 miles an hour in a 40, and anyways, after a minute and a half, before a minute and a half, back two times, and at a minute and a half, I was just explaining, I just don't understand where there's any jurisdiction and or authority when he unlocking my door and pulled me out of my pickup onto the ground. He called for backup again, and immediately there was, I don't know how many of them there. They're all on my back.
Wow.
Anyway, and then they turned everything around into, instead of no license, registration, insurance, and whatever, perfectly good license at home, if I was going to do something commercial. But anyways, I had explained to them that I was just traveling, I was just going to get a part, and just, this is not a vehicle, it's my private, and no one's getting paid, it's non-commercial. Anyways, that's what they do, I guess, how they give me the
right
treatment. It took me to the hospital, get my stuff, aggravated assault on an officer, aggravated assault on a known medical practitioner, a lot of or other ever felonies.
Darren, yeah. You're breaking up. Are you on a speaker or something?
Yeah, let me try. Maybe this will be better here about now so far.
Yeah, that sounds better.
Okay. So anyways, they didn't write me for any of the the things that, you know, license, registration, insurance, none of that type of stuff. But anyways, jury trial was like about 2 weeks ago, 2.5 weeks ago. And it's all statutory. It's all code. It's all guilty. Everything's guilty. 4 guilty, 3 felonies, and statutory. You know, I mean, anything's possible. But anyways, I think I've got good help. I think I've got good, but I'm, the help's not right here. It's just, I'm looking at a lot of new, different information. And, but anyways, I'm just trying to learn a lot of things. But they have, they're violating my rights. There's no contract, but anyways, all my papers of...
And there's no victim either, there's no victim.
Yeah, totally, no victim. They've not responded with any verifiable response from a man or woman that has a claim that I've done wrong. I put in my papers, I will pay any debt to, you know...
anybody that's been harmed or whatever.
Right, yeah, it's all in the papers. I mean, bring forth a verifiable claim from a man or woman that I do wrong within 21 days, and will pay any debt. If no verified claim is filed within 21 days, I require this case.
Now you're breaking up again.
Okay, anyways, verified claim is filed within 21 days, I require this case be discharged immediately.
And then they ignore you.
They send a unsigned. So it's they've not come forth with anything verifiable. They send a letter unsigned in a four corner box in a rectangle. Right in the middle it says notice, court order, notice, ruling. But it's in a rectangle box. It means there's no nothing there on that paper. There's no sign, no signature, no... And I've said no to everything, and I said I don't understand. Arraignment, both two different men in their black dresses have asked if my birth date, they read the number, and... I didn't want to dishonor. I've not dishonored. I said I do not recall. Is this your name? I believe that's a fictitious name. I didn't answer to that name or that birth date. But anyways, do you understand these charges? No, I do not accept. I do not understand. I don't accept. I don't stand under. I don't agree. But anyways,
after sentencing,
a couple weeks ago, I said, as clear, I do not understand. I do not accept. I don't agree. But I went to the probation office to see what they were talking about, and I have the offer. I see the papers, but I'm not signing. That would be the first time I agree and consent to all their fiction. Anyways, so
you have that paper of the offer. Did you keep that paper?
Oh yeah.
That can be used as proof of extortion.
There.
This is what I'm understanding now, because they're offering to basically sell you what's already yours. The way I would see it,
there.
You're right.
There's a lot of different.
Something you can come back later.
Yeah. A lot of different angles and details and all this stuff. The next day, well, the date, I read the one notice that I gave them on jury trial selection day. The next day, I entered another paper with the clerk before the case started, before I went into the courtroom. Gave them, another notice anyways. I rebut all presumptions and assumptions. I do not consent to Ira Shiflett represent myself. Ira Shiflett has been fired and never hired by myself. I wish, require, demand to have proper law counsel assistance. I do not consent to fictitious color of rule of law contracts repugnant to the constitution, to the state and federal constitutions. Halfway there, almost there. Number 6, I withdraw any plea forced upon I. Number seven, I require proof of jurisdiction be brought forth, identified, and verified. Until then, I do not consent to proceeding. I am not ready. Number eight, I wish to face my accuser that claims I do wrong. Number nine, is there a contract that I am bound by here? Number ten, last one, I require a man, woman, bring forth a verifiable claim of authority and power to control my choice. And then I at the last paragraph, I put, I, a man, Darren, of the Shockey family, intervene, and then in brackets, parentheses, without joinder. And then for the corporate fictitious name, and will verify in open court of law that of law all herein be true. I reserve all natural, inherent, constitutionally secure rights. And that's page 2 of 2. But anyways, there's something about an American national, and it's not a U.S. citizen, and it's an identification card. It's a full, it's a claim to become an American national. It takes all the way out of all their jurisdiction, all this. It's big. From 1781, there's this, it's called, on the web, on the computer, it's called the United States of America, 1781.org. And it's all about, it looks really super, super beautiful. And then there's a group of private attorney generals that work with them. And to me, it's looking, all of it, all the details. They have a newspaper, it's American Herald, and there's the Reign of the Heavens.org. It's linked up with them, a group, like a whatever. This place is international. It's all about, super bunch of things, bunch of angry.
Okay, so it's what is it, the United States 1781?
Yeah, the United States of America 1781.org. I believe that's exactly. And then they have an international. So if you see the international instead of 1781, they have they are international. They're the ones, they're in Florida, and they're really putting a lot of good information together. And then they've got their post office set up. They've got money.
You know what, though? I went to it, and it says, it took me to the government of the United States of America.
That's the one.
It has a great seal, the great United States of America seal.
That's the one.
And Office of Deeds and Recordings.
Yes, I believe that still sounds like the exact.
Okay, got it. I just want to make sure I'm going.
Yeah, and you'll find, when you look for, add in Secretary of State, it's going to be Thomas Gowdy, Goudey. And I've talked to him twice. The super good, seems like a super good guy. Answer everything, it looks, all this, what they're talking about looks super good to me.
It's 10 o'clock, and so I'm going to turn the recording off, and